Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Gray Matters, discussing all things senior, produced by New Mexico Reverse Mortgage, hosted by Dirk Gray. My hope is you'll join me on Saturdays along with our guests as we explore all things senior. We're having a wonderful response from our senior community. You're calling, suggesting ideas, we're listening, and continuing to add content. If you have suggestions for topics or a guest you'd enjoy hearing from, please let me know. Okay, I'm joined in studio by my producer, Bob. Good afternoon, Bob.
Oh, good afternoon.
Gray Matters is dedicated entirely to all things senior. Each week I have guests in the studio talking about what they know best and answering your questions and concerns. It will all be related to our senior population, news, community, health, lifestyle, finance, real estate, events surrounding seniors, and many other topics. This show is brought to you by our sponsor, New Mexico Reverse Mortgage, helping you move forward in reverse. Our website is www.reversenm.com, and our phone number is 505-897-4900, or contact 770kqob.com. and go to the Gray Matters program page. Today on the show, my guest is Marnie Jameson, a syndicated home and lifestyle columnist. And I want to read you a little bit from Marnie's bio. She is a pretty impressive young woman. Marnie Jameson is a nationally syndicated home design columnist and author of The House Always Wins, House of Havoc, and Downsizing the Family Home. Marnie's popular syndicated column, At Home with Marnie Jameson, appears in more than 25 newspapers throughout the United States, reaching 7 million readers each week with her humor and advice. A longtime writer for Tribune Media, including the Los Angeles Times and the Orlando Sentinel, she's also written for other top-tier media, including Women's Day, Family Circle, Child, and Fit Pregnancy. A frequent speaker, she's been a guest on numerous TV and radio programs around the country, so we're fortunate to have her. Welcome to the show, Marnie.
Oh, it's my pleasure to be here.
Well, we're glad to have you. I want to let our listeners know that we're going to be opening up the phone lines. So if you have questions for Marnie, please chime in and we'll get those questions answered. So Marnie, what led you up to writing your Downsizing the Family Home?
Well, I have this weekly column, as I mentioned, and I'm usually writing about what is going on in my life. And I came up against the daunting task of clearing out my loving parents' home where they had lived for nearly 50 years. And I was overwhelmed by it. They needed to move into assisted living. They were 89. And my job was to clear out the house and sell it and use the money to finance their long-term care. My brother was taking care of the executive things, and I was taking care of the household things. And that's how we made it work. And I parachuted in from Florida, figured I'd take a week's vacation and take matters in hand, and boy, did I underestimate the task. And but I got it done, and I was writing columns along the way and calling in on my markers where I had contacts with real estate experts and estate planners and antique experts and all of these folks to help me appraise and sell and clear out my parents' home respectfully but quickly. And I wanted to obviously honor them and be a good steward of their things, but I needed to be practical. I couldn't take these things home in the overhead compartment. And anyway, I wrote about it. I wrote about 12 different columns on the subject, and all my readers kept sending me emails saying, you've got to put this into a book. I've saved every one of your columns, and I need to give it to my kids or whoever. And anyway, so I passed all that on to my agent, who then told AARP about it, and they said, well, they needed to get involved, and AARP came in behind it, and we published the book that's now in its ninth printing. So it's kind of taken off, but it was an act of therapy for me, in a sense, but I was helpful to others, too.
Well, you know something, you don't really think about what's involved in that kind of thing until you're faced with it.
It's paralyzing, and I think we all struggle, and I'll speak for myself, we struggle clearing out our own things and getting sorting out things that we really shouldn't be hanging on to. But when you are moving through a loved one's things, there's an extra layer of of emotion. That's mm-hmm. very difficult. And if you love the person, you're grieving, you want to cling to the things because they meant something to them and they meant something to you. And it's just, there's this huge undertow that is very hard to, first of all, you feel like there's something wrong with you that you can't, you know, they're physically just things and it's not the person, but yet there's this this huge flood of emotion that attends it. And I think what people don't really realize is this is because what you're dealing with are themes of love and loss and life and legacy and mortality and mm-hmm. dreams that didn't get realized. And it is huge. And I don't think many of us are terribly prepared for it. And if we are, we'd put it off for good reason.
Well, you know, you know that I'm with a company called New Mexico Reverse Mortgage, you know, of course, our average client is 71 or 72 years old, and so that's something we deal with on a pretty consistent basis in terms of the shape that the house is in and things that may be needed to be done prior to having, you know, an appraisal done and that kind of thing. So.
Well, the number one reason everyone gets into this pickle is one, it boils down to one word, and that is later. I'll fix that up later. I'll do that deferred maintenance later. I'll clean that closet later. And then, you know, they procrastinate and it piles up and it gets harder and they get older and it later never comes. And then the kids are left dealing with it. So I think if people are still fit and active and can manage their things and take care of their homes, they need to stay on top of it. Or, I mean, my parents were as wonderful as parents can be, but boy, I sure wish they had done a little bit more clearing out the house before I had to sort it out. But there you are.
Well, were you surprised by the book's popularity?
I was. I had no idea. Again, I had two other books, and they did fine, but this one has just taken off. And like I said, I don't even think the editors recognized it because it's in its ninth printing. If they'd recognized the popularity, they would have printed more.
yeah.
That's a good problem to have, and a sequel's coming out in January, so that's promising. And I've had a lot of, you know, mostly, again, my agent at AARP had the vision to see that this audience is really two-sided, that I look at it from an adult child of elderly parents and trying to help folks in that folks in their 50s and 60s who might be dealing with an older parent's home, clearing it out. And then the flip side of that is the older person, 70s, 80s, you know, not wanting to leave a big burden to their children. So this book is for them, too, how to clear out the family home so you don't leave your kids, you know, with a mess. And I think most parents don't want to be that burden on their children. And yet, I think they confuse, and we can talk about this in a bit, but the line between bestow and burden is very blurry.
Uh-huh.
And older folks tend to think they're giving a gift to their children when they're really giving them a burden. Mm-hmm. And we kind of need to walk through that.
Why do you think it's such a hot topic?
Wow, because no time in history, Dirk, have we ever had the age of consumerism that we have just come through. Up until the 50s, people were still living with scarcity and thrift, and you got a set of sheets or a set of mixing bowls, and they lasted you for a long time. And now we can go to Target and get, you know, new mixing bowls and new sheets for not that much, but yet a lot of people still can't let go because they remember those times. So we have this huge age of consumerism compounded by folks living longer, and the folks who have done without can't let go of what they do have, there's a snowball effect. And every day, as you probably have the statistic, 8,000 Americans are turning 65, and that number is just going to keep growing until probably, I think it peaks out around 2030. So we have an aging population, living longer, consuming more than ever, and we're bringing up a generation of millennials who really don't want much. So,
Marnie, let me ask you this. Where do they get your book?
Go ahead,
and then we'll go to break.
Well, the publisher is owned by Barnes & Noble.
Okay.
So it's a Barnes & Noble, get it easily, and it's on Amazon very easily. So both venues are very very easy to get the book.
Okay, and the book is called Downsizing the Family Home. Bob's telling me it's time for a break. You're listening to Gray Matters, discussing all things senior. I'll be right back. Welcome back to Gray Matters, discussing all things senior, produced by New Mexico Reverse Mortgage, with your host, Dirk Gray. Gray Matters, discussing all things senior, is heard live weekly on Saturdays beginning at 12 p.m. Mountain Time and streams to a global audience on 770KQOB.com. Before I continue my conversation with Marnie, we've talked about our new segment, Because You're a Senior, These Are Available to You. Last week we discussed the Goodwill stores offering a senior discount, and Kroger offers a 5% discount off the entire bill for those over 60 and older. And this week, Hallmark greeting cards, 10% off one day a week. And then the Hyatt hotel chain, up to 50% off their daily rates. It varies by hotel. So every week, listen, because you're a senior, these things are available to you. All right, I'm continuing my conversation with Marnie Jameson. Marnie is a syndicated home and lifestyle columnist. Welcome back, Marnie.
Thank you.
Why is letting go of things so tough? I mean, it's just stuff.
It's really hard. And I think it's because it's our life, and we want to matter, and we endow things with meaning that they really don't have, but it's so natural. And I'd like to share the story of a child who gets connected to a teddy bear because they put all the feelings they've had from a parent onto this bear. If their parent's not around, they find comfort in this security object, and they endow this bear with a lot more than it really can possibly provide, but they believe it does. And as we mature, we actually do the same thing. Anything we buy is no longer neutral, or anything that was given to us as a gift is no longer neutral. It has attached to it who we were with, where we wore it, when we bought it, that vacation, that good friend. Mm-hmm. And so you want to hang on to these feelings. So I think because of endowment, that we endow things with meaning and feelings, they're very difficult to let go. And if it's of a loved one who's departed, we want to cling to these things because we want to cling to that person. And it's just finally so impractical. And you just have to get around that psychology that this is just an object, and honor the feelings, but move on. But I think that's the biggest reason we cling.
Well, you know something, just listening to you, Marnie, I can see why the book has been so popular, because you bring kind of a warmth and a special insight into this process. So I'm glad you wrote it.
Thank you. You know, there were books on the market that were kind of clinical, and they're written by organizers or estate sellers, and they, you know, did a very sort of a nice job of explaining how it works, but I was writing from my heart.
Uh-huh.
My heart was breaking, mm-hmm. and I had to go through it, and as I wrote it, my readers were right there with me. So I hope it's, I try to write that way, and yet one difference I have is that I can call up top antiques experts because I have the syndicated column and get an interview with them and actually pass down good advice. I spoke to grief counselors, so I spoke to an assortment of people mm-hmm. to help me through this thing, and I channel them into the book, and I hope to help others.
Well, what are the excuses that people tend to use to cling, and how do you bust through those?
Well, there are so many, and I'm guilty of almost every one of them, but I paid a lot for it. I might need it someday. It's still in great condition. I know I have two, but what if one breaks? The kids might want it. I mean, on and on. And I think that we really get stuck with a lot of mm-hmm. things as a result of all those excuses. And instead of thinking why you don't want to let go of something, I like to flip it and look at your belongings a section at a time and maybe clear out a closet or clear out your kitchen cabinets and then ask yourself, what do I need, use, and love?
Mm-hmm.
Rather than deciding what to let go of, decide what to keep. And that way you can hit the override button on all of those excuses, by the way, as they come up, say, oh, yeah, there's one of those excuses, and you just kind of slap it down and ask yourself, do I need this? Do I use this? Do I love this? And if you can't answer yes to at least one of those questions, it really should get moved on.
Well, it's interesting that this topic has come up now. My brother and I went through this recently with my mom. My dad had passed on a number of years ago, but my mom fairly recently. And my brother was more of the caretaker. She actually lived with my brother and his two daughters for a while. And one of the things that my folks had quite a bit of was art. They were always... they just loved art, and so Greg and I were the benefactors of a lot of the art, and in that art there's just so many memories, like you're, you know, speaking to. So how can someone get motivated to clear out a home and stick with it?
Yeah, that's a great question, and I think that the most important thing that anyone can do is create a vision for what is what they want. Start with the end in mind. And in my case, I wanted to clear out the family home so I could put it on the market, you know, fix it up, sell it, and cash it out, liquidate it, so we could have the money for my parents' long-term care.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a very clear motivation, and really not one I could negotiate too much with, because we needed to do this. So some people just really want to have leave a lighter footprint for their families to contend with. Some people get a vision of just more beautiful living, mm-hmm. living simply, more elegantly, in a streamlined, well-organized home. So, or not opening a closet and just shutting the door because it's so overwhelming. You know, it's lovely to live in a beautiful, streamlined, organized home. So get your mindset on, and then start and keep focus. Keep your eye on the prize, and don't stop until you get there. But I think that's very motivating.
Well, and it's a process, right? It takes time.
Absolutely. I think you need to start. You know, people say, "Well, I don't even know where to start." Well, start at a place that's not too emotional, and you have very visible results. I mm-hmm. think your closet's a great place because, you know, how emotional are your clothes, right? So
yeah.
Get through that, and, mm-hmm. and again, take everything out and choose to shop. Like, shop, what would you buy again? Not what is still sort of okay in good condition that you paid a lot for, although it might still be kind of not fitting. Whatever it is, get rid of that. Keep what you love, and then you'll get motivated. You'll say, wow, that was a big improvement. And then maybe you move into the garage, which is another area which is, you know, you're not super attached to things. And then you get into the tougher stuff.
Uh-huh.
Don't start with the photographs because they're not taking up that much room and they're really hard to go through, but we can get through those too.
Well, in your book, you talk about endowment. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, and that's again that transferring of feelings to an object that really doesn't have any feelings. Objects are objects. So let's say you bought a red shirt on a vacation with your loved one and had a great time wearing that red shirt, but I don't know what you look like, Dirk, but maybe you were 20 pounds thinner when you bought that red shirt, and maybe it looked good the first day, but this is 10 years later. But you still, all that shirt evokes all these positive feelings of that great vacation, and so you've endowed it. It's no longer neutral.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's part of it, and it's like everything has stories. Like you just mentioned your parents' artwork. You know the story of that. It's not just the art. It's the story of where it was in your home, mm-hmm. where they bought it, when they bought it, why they bought it. And nothing is neutral. So I think we need to start to tease apart the sentiment from the actual object, not with everything, but with a lot of things, because here's the real clincher. You can't keep everything. And when you do, when everything is important, nothing is important. So when you're clearing out that home, you really want to keep those precious few items, and the less you have, the more special they are.
You know something, it's your insight is amazing. The owner of our company, Mace, is his first name. Mace, you know, deals with this on a daily basis with these couples and singles, and he's very sensitive to that, and he walks them kind of step by step through the process to try to help them understand. And you know, it's daunting. It can be. Well, you talk about decluttering your own house is hard enough, but clearing out the home of a loved one is even harder. And I know you've touched on it a little bit, but why do you say that?
Well, I think in a nutshell is you feel like you're erasing the past. You feel like you're swiping over someone's life like a chalkboard with an eraser, and it's just turning into dust. And that is, it is sad. And you don't want to erase their lives. And you also are sort of subconsciously thinking, gee, I hope somebody doesn't just swipe me out one day when I'm to that point. Mm-hmm. And so you're kind of doing unto others how you would have others do unto you. And, you know, you want to matter, and life matters, and people matter, and their things matter. And I think that's really where we get stuck. And then, so you have to, again, go through that very practical look. Someone lives in your heart. How you love someone lives in your heart, not in their bowling ball or anything else that was something that was special to them. So I guess that's really
the
issue.
No, that's a great answer. All right. Well, we're talking to Marnie Jamison. She's written a book called Downsizing the Family Home We're Talking About. Bob's telling me it's time for a break. You're listening to Gray Matters, discussing all things senior. I'll be right back. Welcome back to Gray Matters, discussing all things senior, produced by New Mexico Reverse Mortgage with your host, Dirk Gray. Gray Matters is heard weekly on Saturdays, beginning at 12 p.m. Mountain Time, and streams to a global audience on AM 770 News Radio KKOB. New Mexico Reverse Mortgage's weekly Q&A questions. We had two of them emailed to me. It also involves the myths that we've talked about on a couple of previous programs. One of them was, you no longer need to pay property taxes. As is true with all homeowners with a mortgage, you must continue to pay for your property taxes, homeowners insurance, and maintenance on the house. And the other one was, is your home, if your home is in a trust, you must remove it from the trust to qualify. And that's not true. You do not need to remove the home from your revocable living trust in order to close on a reverse mortgage. So that answers these questions. And Marnie, I want to tell you before we go any further, you're spot on with the 20 pounds.
Thank you. I'm just guessing. Well, we're
so,
all there, aren't we?
I guess. Okay. How and where do you start this process?
It's so hard to start, but I think here's the really good news for people putting this off is once you get rolling, you gain momentum, and it's really kind of gratifying. So start, get over that first, you know, it's like working out. You know, initially it's hard to get started, and then you get rolling, and it feels pretty good. So you start somewhere where you can see visible improvement, even if it's the silverware drawer, and or, you know, a closet is good. The linen closet is really good because that's usually a mess, and you don't need a lot of the stuff that's in there. So start somewhere where you can see results, not too emotional, and then just roll one room at a time until you get to the more sensitive materials. And I had, when I was cleaning out my parents' home, what I called the pile of postponement. I would sort everything into groups. I want to keep this. I want to toss this. I want to sell this. And then there was a pile of I don't know. And that was a good size pile. But don't come to a full stop because you don't know what to do with something. Just park it somewhere and say, well, I'm just going to have to get back to that one and keep moving on and take care of what you can take care of.
Well, I know that there are a lot of emotions that surface, like guilt and sadness, remorse, even joy probably. How do you manage the emotions?
So there's no doubt when you start this process, you get a big, huge case of the feels. You open a box and you find your kid's, you know, child project from school, an old report card of Boy Scout uniform. You might find your own Boy Scout uniform. You end up with all these, you know, these things that maybe you had a broken marriage, and you come across photos of a trip that was fun that you took together before things didn't work out. And, you know, so all these things surface up. Your whole life comes flowing back over you, and it's a lot. So I think here's what you really just have to accept. Your feeling that way is what makes you human. And it's actually great to be human and enjoy, as bittersweet as it can be, the range of emotions that we get to experience as humans. Mm-hmm. And I spoke to a grief counselor just recently about, I was talking about letting go of a home that you love, and even if you're moving, and talking about grief, and what I love this expression, and I used it, my parents have since passed on too, and of course, it's horrible to lose a loved one, and I hearten myself by saying the depths to which you grieve is the height to which you've loved. So when you're feeling sad and grieving about all this, remind yourself this is because you were blessed with love.
Uh-huh.
So I just say let it happen and embrace it.
Well, that's beautiful. What do, or I guess maybe I could ask it this way, what are people the most afraid of when they downsize?
So there are two big themes that happen. What if I regret letting go of something, you know, and I look back and say, shoot, I wish I hadn't let that go, A. And B, they're afraid they're going to sell something or put something out on Craigslist or at the garage sale for $5 that's worth $5,000.
Mm-hmm.
So they're nervous about being taken for granted or taken advantage of or, you know, that. So to that I'll say one, on regret, look, it's a game time decision. You're going to plow through the house. You're going to make the best call you can at the time and move on. And you may look back and say, oh, darn it, I wish I'd kept that extra Tupperware. But it's not that. You may not. You may never. Most people really never look back and miss what they've let go of. They look at something and say, maybe I should have let go of that. But very rarely. On the value part, when I spoke to folks who did the auctions and worked for Sotheby's and the antiques experts, I was told over and over that the chances of you having something truly valuable, unless you come from a family of providence, then it's very unlikely anything is worth what people tell you it is, mm-hmm. even in a collector's catalog. So if you have something kind of valuable, you think it's valuable, look on Craigslist, look on eBay, and find something like it, see what it actually sold for, and then you'll have a pretty grounding sense of what things are really worth. But brace yourself. Things are worth a lot less than you think they are.
So just kind of reading in between the lines, what you're saying is there's big misconceptions about the value of the belongings.
Absolutely. It's a huge misconception, and most people overvalue what they have, mm-hmm. and they remember what they paid for it, and they just have an outsized view of the worth of things.
It's fascinating. What are the pros and cons of having an estate sale or a garage sale? You know, the last time that Lois and I, my wife, we decided to downsize into something quite a bit smaller, we just loaded a huge, what do you call them, the moving trucks. And we had people come over, and basically, a lot of them, they put like, they'd say, you know what, I think I want this, and I think I want this. And they made a little pile of things. And we had one couple, it was two women, they just took their pile, put it in the back of the truck, and drove off. They didn't bother to pay us or, you know, it was, but anyway, that's my downsizing story, so.
Oh, my goodness. Did they think it was a free-for-all?
I guess. Well, wow. I mean, you know what, my guess is they were pros. And they knew that if they did that, they probably weren't going to be stopped. So they went ahead and did it. It just, you know what? It didn't really bother Lois or I. It was just like, it was kind of like a wow moment, you know? It just, I couldn't believe it. But anyhow.
Wow.
So.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I mean, I learned, the learning curve was very steep for me because I'd never had an estate sale. But absolutely keep your eye on the cash drawer, or keep cash in an apron on your belly. You know, type one of those with pockets and zippers.
Yeah.
Don't leave things unattended, and have people in every room. Get mm-hmm. some friends on deck. It is crazy. The professional pickers will come through, and they'll really, really scour the place. It's amazing how much they clean out a place. And I found a woman, for instance. I had a bunch of old towels, and she said she was going to take them to the animal shelter, and so what was the best price I could give her? So I'm like, shoot, you know, practically free. But as I picked it up, it felt kind of weird, and she'd smuggled an antique lamp in the middle of all of them.
Really?
I'm like, do you want the lamp too? So, you know, people are strange that way, but
people,
oh well.
Are people, yeah.
Yeah. But I think, you know, an estate sale, and I thought that meant that you had to have, like, some mansion. It's really the word people use for any time you're clearing out an entire household of things.
Mm-hmm.
And a garage sale is something literally when you're cleaning out your house and you're getting rid of some things and you put something on the driveway or the yard. It's not your whole house on sale. It's just a few the things that you're trying to clear out. And the nice thing is you get control of it. It's instant cash. And you don't have to pay a third party a percentage of the value. So I think those are some real nice. And I'm different in different communities, but I am a fan of Craigslist and putting specific items up with photos. And I've gotten rid of things really quickly that way, too, and gotten cash.
Well, you know, I know some people have a company liquidate, you know, a household. Is that something you recommend?
I do. I have a story in my book, a group of siblings, three siblings who were dealing with their mother's home after she passed away, and the last surviving parent. And I think what I shared their story because everybody, maybe you and your brother experiences, comes to it a little differently. And some, like one of the sisters in this family could not bear to be present when anyone bought the things. Mm-hmm. And another one needed to be present with everyone and talk to them about the story. And so, you know, it's just very different. So if you want some detachment, it's great to have another company come in, bundle it up and clear it out. And you can't, you don't have the control you might want because that's part of the agreement. It's like, we're going to decide how much things are worth because we're getting a job done here. You need to stand down. So it's very efficient, and they're dispassionate, and that's sometimes what you need.
Okay,
so
great.
So it just depends on how you approach it.
Okay, well, we're talking to Marnie Jameson about her book, Downsizing the Family Home. Bob telling me it's time for a break. You're listening to Gray Matters, discussing all things senior. I'll be right back. Welcome back to Gray Matters, discussing all things senior, produced by New Mexico Reverse Mortgage with your host, Dirk Gray. I'm continuing my conversation with Marnie Jameson, a syndicated home and lifestyle columnist. Marnie, let's just kind of pick up where we left off.
Sure.
Oh, you know what? Let me ask you this, just for our listeners. The name of the book is Downsizing the Family Home. What's your contact information, Marnie?
Sure. You can reach me at Marnie, M-A-R-N-I, at Marnie Jameson, M-A-R-N-I, J-A-M-E-S-O-N.com.
Okay, great. We'll get that again before we go off the air.
Great.
Well, you know, in some respects, we're both in the same line of work in terms of working with seniors at times. And you know, they're the most taken advantage of group in our society. How do the seniors know who to trust, or how do you recommend people that they work with?
I do think they need to do their due diligence and be careful of folks who are taking advantage of them. But there is an association I like called the National Association of Senior Move Managers, and they have sprouted up over the last decade, like the organizing groups and others helping people with their stuff. But they're sensitized to helping older folks who need to move into smaller quarters to downsize and help to sort of tease out what they should take and what they should leave behind and how to separate. And most of them are trained to be pretty sensitive to the process. So they're not only tuned in to the emotions of this population, but also to the organization skills that you need to have to do this. So you might look for someone who is accredited with that association, NASMM. And again, you can have some bad eggs in any group. So you then need to find that person and ask for some references and call around and make sure that this person is honest and reputable.
And I know that we're, you know, and Greg and I went through this, we're all tempted to keep too much. What guiding principles or lights can you offer so we hang on to just enough?
Mm-hmm. I think what's important for people to accept, and I struggle with this too, is that we have different phases in life. I just had my youngest daughter graduate from college. So I have to face the fact that, you know, my kids have moved on and they've somehow gotten through life. They're going to get on to life without me. And I have to reinvent what that means. And that's okay. So I put away the soccer clothes that they once had and I move into another phase. And I think we have to be honest about where we are in our lives and get rid of everything that speaks to what we used to be, because we're not going back. And the more you let go of what you used to be, the more you can embrace who you are now and what's coming to you. So I think you need to keep that in mind. And I hear if I can, I'm going to make about one in four people mad right now when I say this, but please never, never, never get a storage locker. That's so important. It's one in four people has one, and they're a huge money pit. And I guess that if you can't park your cars in your garage, and if you are now paying real estate on property that you can't even live in. You're just putting stuff in. Mm-hmm. You need to get busy.
That's a good way to put it. Well, what about the really tough stuff, like the wedding dresses or dress, the military medals, that kind of thing?
Sure, and the love letters and things you come across that were your parents that are so hard or your loved ones. Again, these will go in the pile of postponement at first. And then I think it's important, and I mentioned some ways in my book, to honor these items but not be bogged down by them. So the wedding dress, you might turn it into a christening gown for a grandchild. You might repurpose it into something. I was married a couple years ago. I'm remarried, and that was a good thing. And I used my mom's wedding dress to create bridal bouquets that my daughters carried at the wedding ceremony. So it felt like we were using something of the past, and she was there with us. So these are, you know, ways you can do things, but you don't have to keep the whole thing. So I think it's important to let go. I talk about the love letters. One couple sent their parents' love letters up into the flames and sent them back to eternity to be with them. So you can memorialize things in different ways other than clinging to them.
That's beautiful. Well, let's talk a little bit about your new book that is coming out next year.
Sure. Well, this wasn't my idea, and sometimes the best ideas aren't my ideas. So one of the editors was reading through Downsizing the Family Home, and she was cleaning out her parents' house, and she thought the whole while, I love this book. I leaned on it the whole time, but I sure wish I had a journal to go with it. So I wrote Downsizing the Family Home, a workbook, and it's spiral-bound, so it'll lie flat, and it's part scrapbook, part journal, where people can write down, again, the mindset, like, what am I doing this? What are my guiding lights? So when you get waylaid or you want to give up, you go back and you reread, what am I doing this for and why? And you can talk about what went where, what you sold for how much, if things are divided up among siblings, who got the grandfather clock and who got the engagement ring, and, you know, and have a family history in a book that is true, turns out to be a much smaller way to hang on to your family's history than hanging on to all your grandpa's fishing tackle. You have instead a picture of your grandpa fishing and his favorite lure. So it's a workbook, and I think it'll be really helpful to help people through this emotional time and let them cherish it as well.
I think that's a great idea.
Thank you. I'll tell my editor you said so.
What final words of advice do you have for those who don't want to burden the next generation? You've got about a minute and a half, Marnie.
Okay, well, let's wrap that up. Well, let me tell you this. Everyone sit down. If you're not sitting down, here's the hard news. The kids don't want your stuff. So that is an excuse for procrastination and laziness when you think that your daughter would love your dining room table and the sideboard and the hutch and the china. Now, ask them if they do, and if they say no, believe them. And if they say, oh, yeah, I love your dining room table, awesome, then you keep it. But if they say no, let it go. We are oversaturated in old brownwood furniture that nobody wants, and the older generation is having a very difficult time dealing with that. So let it go. And I think the other piece of advice is this isn't a one-time event. I want people to look at their lives as the downsizing is a part of your life, like shedding a skin, you know, letting go of who you were to become who you're becoming and not letting things from your past weigh you down. So if you can constantly be vigilant about downsizing and streamlining and clearing out and letting go, you're not going to leave an avalanche at the end of the line for somebody to sort through. You'll have done a beautiful job of living.
Okay, one last question. Where can the listeners get your book?
Online at Amazon.com. And, in fact, Downsizing the Family Home is available, and so is Downsizing the Family Home, a workbook. You can pre-order that. And also at BarnesandNoble.com or in bookstores, you can order it. It's readily available.
Okay, Marty, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Pleasure was mine. Thank you for having me.
All right. I want to thank Marnie Jamison for being my guest. I also want to thank my producer, Bob, as well as the 770 KQOB team for making Gray Matters, discussing all things senior, produced by New Mexico Reverse Mortgage, your favorite place for all things senior, and you, our audience, for joining today's broadcast. Thank you for listening to the voice of Reverse Mortgages and Seniors in New Mexico. If you'd like to call, the office phone number is 505- 877-497-4900 or go to 770kqob.com. My NMLS number is 222-785. New Mexico Reverse Mortgages NMLS number is 1102-656. This information is not from HUD or FHA and was not approved by HUD or a government agency. If the borrower does not meet loan obligations such as taxes and insurance, then the loan would need to be repaid. The information given during the show is not meant to be all-inclusive. Any guests on the show are not endorsed by Gray Matters or New Mexico Reverse Mortgage or KKOB. Thank you for joining me today. I'm Dirk Gray.